What is up, y'all? It is your girl Scardi B, and you are listening to Sugar We're Going In, the only podcast about Fall Out Boy and hip-hop. If this is your first episode, this really fucking sucks for you. Like, please go back to literally any other episode than this one, because this one's for the Shugs, okay? I've been meaning to kiki with y'all, see how y'all doing, and this will be more of like a raw pod, right? Like, no edit, no protection, fuck it, we ball energy. And, you know, because this show is known for one thing, and that's polish, right? Let's be for fucking real. But this is a little in-betweener episode to tap in with y'all, do a recap of my tour dust dates, and talk about seeing Andy on Seth Meyers at New York. I got to be part of the audience, and it was fucking sick. After that, I will play a shout out from my voicemail. You can call and leave me a voicemail or a text to 908-899-3489. That number again is 908-899-3489. No, that is not my personal number. It will go this number goes straight to a voicemail. You can text it. I'm happy to respond, but don't dox me, okay? With that number, you can send shout outs. You can share your favorite Fall Out Boy memories, confessions. All of it is welcome. And it can be anonymous, and I'll play them on the pod and say your messages to me if you send them to me in text form. Finally, next up is an interview with Black Trick Stump himself, Kawaii AF, on Instagram and TikTok, the content creator of your Fall Out Boy dreams. He is so fucking funny and has made some of my favorite bits online and is so specifically like deep lore Fall Out Boy niche. And he's an incredibly talented musician too. So I'm really excited to talk to Brandon all about Kawaii AF and just his bits in general online, because they are so goddamn funny. So let's dive right in, because my first tour dust date was Orlando, and starting in Florida is the energy I fucking needed, honestly. So first date is Orlando, and they kick it. They have Homesick at Space Camp on the set list, which is already like fucking phenomenal. And they also use their cover part that they alternate in the set between song 2, Crazy Train, Don't Stop Me Now, with Huey Lewis and the News, The Power of Love. And I loved that so much. But y'all, the eight ball was alpha dog, the first full performance of it. And all you hear in my video reaction is screaming get familiar, because the CFOB flashbacks and PTSD that I experienced at that moment was so giant. Oh, and here's I'm also here to break your fucking heart, because Pete in the intro tells us that this song was the last song recorded before hiatus. So it ends up the full actual recording on the Believers Never Die volume 1 album. And just knowing that and listening to the song back, like, please, like, can you break my heart anymore? But like, also, like, what a giant song to go out on. Like, if they were like, this might be the last fucking thing that we record, fuck it, we ball. And I loved it so much. I love that song so much. And it's just revitalized my absolute adoration of that song. So we got Alpha Dog, first full live performance in Orlando. Thank you so much, Florida. That was a good one. And then, like the absolutely sane person I am, I made my way to Jacksonville the next day to see them. And this show has to be, I've been to a lot of Fall Out Boy shows, okay? I don't want to talk numbers, because I really don't think that numbers makes you a bigger fan than anybody else, but I've been seeing them for over, you know, 17 years, minus hiatus time, obviously. And this has to be one of my favorite shows, not because of the set list, because, I mean, the set list is always perfect. They know what the fuck they're doing. But I got to see a Fall Out Boy show with Dirty in his hometown of Jacksonville, Florida. Like, if you were to tell Scarlett, like, back in 2007 that you'd be sharing, like, Dirty Saves shirts with Dirty and his kids and, like, hanging out and watching this band that we both fucking love so much, I'd be eating a table at this point. You know, I am so grateful. A, the set list was incredible. We did get Janafs, or however you want to say it. The piano medley was Bad Side of 25. Patrick broke out the soul punk. And what's crazy is that I was wearing soul punk earrings that night. I don't know what came over me, but hearing soul punk live again is so incredibly special and makes me so fucking proud of him feeling so comfortable to share that again with us. I think that this entire tour has been a tour of healing, also with like the Foley stuff, which has been incredibly exciting to see and feel and hear. But also Patrick coming in his own, with his own music. And we'll also get a couple of other dips into that, later on in the tour and also at some upcoming dates, but I'll leave that at that. We got Bad Side of 25 off of his 2011 album Soul Punk, which we will be visiting very, very soon when we hit 2011. Mind you, the pod right now, if you're listening chronologically, is right in the middle of 2008. All right, so whatever. We're there with Dirty. Like, it's the most fun I've had in so long. Like, we sang every fucking word, and it was just amazing to have the King of Jacksonville shirtless with his Miller Lite vest on, just going absolutely hammer time to these guys, knowing how much they all mean to each other. I mean, it was incredibly special. So that was probably my favorite Fall Out Boy show of all time, and that says a lot. So thank you, Dirty. Love you, Dirty. And then finally for the 8-ball, oh my God, the 8-ball was I'm Like a Lawyer. And ooh, I mean, they had done it, Patrick had done it as like the piano medley, but ooh, hearing it like, ooh, full bit, ooh, my chest. So good, so beautiful. Probably one of the songs that, I mean, I started singing like back in 2005 when I like first heard from Under the Cork Tree, but that specific song, I mean, it's fucking Babyface, but that specific song got me singing. Like I would sing that song so many times a day, every day for years. And even today when that thing comes on, we are playing it a minimum of two times and I'm doing every harmony, I'm stacking, I'm doing runs. Like, it's the whole thing. I love that song so much. So it was so, so special to hear it live, full band like that again. So words never spoken. Thanks, Florida. That was a really good time. A week later, just about, was Baltimore. Not even a week. It was just like a few days. Like, Jacksonville was on the 15th and I was back in Baltimore on the 20th. We had a little less 16 candles on the set list, which was very cute. I loved meeting y'all in Baltimore. Y'all got jiggy. Like, literally the fucking second I set my foot in the venue, and this is not me bragging because I am a absolute anxiety mess and don't believe, like, I'm y'all, you know, it's, I just so happen to have a mic and can do things on GarageBand, you know, like, but the way y'all made me feel was so incredibly welcoming. And to be Fall Out Boy community famous, I'll take it. I'll fucking take it, because y'all bitches are cool. And I love going to these shows with y'all and being as excited for y'all. And people who made bracelets like for me that say Scardi, Scardi B, Sugar We're Going In, Fall Out Boys to Men, I just know that that's literally my child's inheritance. Like, there will never be a cooler moment than feeling so thought of and excited to meet. And anybody who took a picture with me, oh my God, like, are you kidding me? Thank you for getting my good angle. And thank you for getting these pictures out of the way ahead of the show, because I'm looking like a wet gremlin by the end. But I appreciate y'all, and I loved meeting all of y'all so, so much. So on top of a little less 16 candles, during the set, the 8-ball was Missing You, which is a beautiful song off of their album, Save Rock and Roll. And it was just delicious to hear it live. I love that song so, so much. It was also cute in Baltimore because that was like me and B, who is my best friend that I go to these shows with, our first like big dress up show. So we had the idea of doing like a sledgehammer to a disco ball and like bedazzled these like fake hollowed out hammers and decked it out with like disco balls, and we dressed in like all platinum, and it was just so, so fun. And I don't remember ever dressing up like that for a show, like in costume or like in theme. And I just, it was just so fun. I really loved it. It really brought so much joy. And like in Florida, my whole theme was Ball Out Boys. So I had my Jimmy Butler Ball Out Boys shirt on for Orlando, and then my limited edition Chicago Bulls 2006 jersey on for Jacksonville. And it was lit. It was perfect. And so for Baltimore, that was the theme. And then after that, baby, it was cowboy time. Okay. So on the 22nd, just 2 days after Baltimore, was the big sold out New York City MSG date. And I haven't seen Fall Out Boy at MSG since Mania tour, question mark. I believe that's right. And they fucked us up. I knew that this show was gonna be crazy. I mean, first of all, it was Oomphcella. I met everybody and their mother from the internet. I love you all. Just know that I'm your auntie forever. Anyway, I got these seats that were I did for Orlando too, but they sell seats literally basically side stage. Now it can be really great or really bad, but it definitely feels like we shouldn't have been sold these seats, but it's fun just to kind of see them at that angle. But you were definitely like in the trenches. You were in the trenches in the back. And like when those fireworks went off and like when any explosives would go off, I mean, you were getting fried out there. You remember like that episode of SpongeBob where they're doing the Olympics and like somebody does a flip and like lands in like frying oil and like fries the entire stands of fish into fish sticks? That's how it fucking felt the two nights that I did those seats. I understand the business of selling those seats, but, and Pete is very kind. Like he tries to acknowledge like the people that are over here on the sides and like tries to pick one of them to like go up to the front, but thank you for that, Pete. Whoever gets that totally deserves it. But I just wish it was me. Why not me, God? Anyway, very happy for them. It's very kind, but we're at MSG and our side seats are actually fucking baller. So fucking baller. I can kind of see a set list that's hanging in someone's like, you know, like whatever, like audio rack they're rolling around, and I saw fucking blacked out pieces and I said, oh no, they're here to fuck us up tonight. Because I mean, MSG is also extremely important to Fall Out Boy's lore, because, and we'll talk about it, or I really don't feel like talking about it, but their last show before hiatus was at MSG, and during Saturday Pete lets Mark Hoppus just shave all his hair off and he just looked so defeated and sad. And so to see them at MSG, the happiest they've ever been, doing some of the songs that I'm about to go through, was very healing, and I'm just very happy and proud of them to have this moment, because they fucking deserve it, because they work super hard. Anyway, so some of the songs, not anyway, because I'm really about to say the fucking craziest sentences. So MSG, whatever, the show starts. I'm saying whatever, like I'm not traumatized. Wait, the fifth song was fucking XO. The shoes came off, babes. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I was all like Western themed out, like this beautiful French dress, like with my fucking bedazzled like Fall Out Boy hat, like my boots, they were off. They were gone out to the side. I did not need them where I was going. And if that was the fifth song and I was like, phew, you know, time to breathe, you know, some Uma Thurman, something. The sixth song, I'll calm down, was fucking Tell That Mick. When I heard those opening chords, I think I just started screaming directly into B's mouth. I don't know. I didn't know how to act. Oh, her fan got caught in my fringes. We were stuck together for a moment. I didn't give a fuck. And it was just so amazing to see them go in, and that breakdown in that song, and to see them all just like in that small, like kind of cozy stage that they do. Oh, It was so good. It was so good. I loved it. So that was Tell That Mick. And then for the medley, Patrick breaks out the acoustic. And I always love when Patrick breaks out the acoustic because I know it's about to be something bomb. And it was super bomb. He did Spidey and his amazing friends because Patrick writes the music for that and sings on like the theme song and the music on there. So to have him be so excited and proud, and obviously he's in New York, to play the Spidey theme was so cute. I loved it so much. But it didn't end there. After that, Daisy Grenade comes out for Just One Yesterday. And Daisy, y'all, so beautiful. Like a song and the way they all three sung it. Like specifically want to give kudos to Daisy Grenade, the way that they are both such strong, beautiful singers, and the way they allowed each other to have their moments throughout the song and made the song move and breathe was just so impressive, and sung like a fan and sung with that love and soul that Patrick brings to it. It was just very, very beautiful to hear. Okay, finally, we're digging into the eight balls, all right? And yes, you heard me. I said eight balls. They were multiple. And the first one was the debut of Get Busy Living or Get Busy Dying. Do your part to save the scene and stop going to shows off of 2005 from Under the Cork Tree. And I lost my goddamn mind. the videos at that point are just me crying and screaming, especially at like the back and forth that Patrick and Pete do. If I'm brave enough, I'll put an audio clip in here. You know what? Actually, let's listen to that. Just being very raw and vulnerable with y'all, because I'm literally the best or worst person to sit next to at a Fall Out Boy show. If you're like a casual fan, I am the worst person to sit next to at a Fall Out Boy show, because every other word is, can you believe it? And like that person's probably like, yo, they're playing Fall Out Boy at a Fall Out Boy show at a venue booked to play Fall Out Boy. Like, what's the deal? And I was like, you don't understand. So that was Get Busy, which was amazing. And then Pete asks, you know, should we slow down? And I was like, hello? And out comes William Beckett of the Academy Is to do Slow Down. And it was giving big Honda Civic Tour, because the Academy Is opened for Fall Out Boy in 2007 for the Honda Civic Tour. And seeing them up there together again just made me so goddamn happy. It was just so incredible. So that was the big moments at MSG. They were incredible. Congratulations to Fall Out Boy on your sold out MSG day. I mean, whew, that's not easy, but y'all did it. And we were here for it. And we loved it. I really appreciate it. This is the thing about having a show. I'm going to talk about whatever the fuck I want to talk about. And ideally, y'all listening. But I've gotten to the part where we talk about Nashville, which, first of all, was on Easter Sunday. So imagine my mother calling me being like, oh my God, like, what are we doing for dinner? Like, for Easter? And I'm like, I am not home. I am... Pete Wentz has risen during Dance Dance. Like I need to be there. Like that's where I need to be. And it was so fun. Got to meet so many other people and had so much fun. The set list was beautiful. I mean, first of all, shout out to Morgan, Stump Club president from our Fan Friday episode. She and I were the ones who went together, so we got to meet each other IRL. That's the beautiful thing about this show, just bringing all these beautiful people together, and had so much fun with her, her husband, her brother-in-law. It was just so fun. And Nashville's a vibe. And the set list was accurately as vibey, because we got the patron saints of Liars and Fakes. That was the tour debut. Take This to Your Grave, girls. We're eating. And then we also had Kintsugi Kid 10 Years, which was usually like an eight ball, but like adding it to the set list, I was like, oh, these motherfuckers are about to go crazy. I understand. And crazy they did go. For the medley, Patrick played Spotlight, which is off of Toronto Wave, his EP, and his album Soul Punk. It is a beautiful song from his solo album. So to hear two of Patrick's solo music, three, Spidey, but like specifically from like Soul Punk was so special. And then just a moment here to talk about Casey Benjamin. Casey was an incredible, talented musician, composer, just all around artist, and incredibly inspirational. His work with Robert Glasper, and then as part of Patrick's band, Patrick's touring band. So I got to see him a lot perform. And that night at Nashville, the moment I refreshed my Instagram, I found out about his passing due to, I follow a lot of just jazz people in general. My first job was in specifically working in jazz and alternative jazz. So to know that, I knew Patrick didn't know at the moment because he would have said something, but I thought it was so fitting that, sadly, morbidly, that he played that song not knowing that his very close friend and collaborator had passed away, and it was a song that they performed countless times together. So my heart goes out to the Benjamin family, to everybody affected, to Patrick, who later in the tour dedicated Spotlight to him the next show, as well as the Doobie Brothers, What a Fool Believes, because Casey really always wanted him to cover that. And I agree, Casey. Casey has great taste because Patrick has a perfect Michael McDonald voice. So I loved hearing that. But it was a beautiful, emotional tribute. But that made that Nashville show just especially real and human, and just tell people that you love them and cover songs if they want it covered. Life is short, so make art, be weird, and talk about shit you love, like this pod. But love you, Casey Benjamin. Rest in peace. And that Nashville show concluded, included the 8-Ball Jetpack Blues off of American Beauty, American Psycho. And it was its first full performance since May 2018. So a beautiful Easter Sunday with Fall Out Boy. And that was my personal last show of that tour, depressed. Not because of the show, but because I would like to go to every show, you know? This episode is truly Yapper's Delight, so I really, really appreciate y'all rocking with me. But we gotta talk about Minneapolis, y'all. So Minneapolis was the final tour date of Tour Dust, and they went fucking crazy. I learned some intel after the fact, but let's talk about Minneapolis. On the set list is Chicago Is So 2 years Ago, and Justin Pierre of Motion City Soundtrack came out, and that made my entire life. Motion City Soundtrack is probably the second most seen live band by me. I fucking love Motion City Soundtrack. So when that happened, everybody was like, oh no, Scarlett, she's not doing well. And I wasn't. I was in the middle of working WrestleMania, which, like, shout out to the universe gods who, like, let me do that. It was hard reading those tweets. And if I thought that was hard, I wasn't ready for the 6 8-Balls. 6 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 8-Balls that Minneapolis got. Can I read some of these to y'all? Because I'm really fucked up, and I'm so happy. I'm so like fucked up out of like fucking happiness. A, that those people got to hear that, but B, that it even happened. Like, how incredible. We got 7-9 Legendary, which was just a fucking demo. And everybody's like, oh my god, what's 7-9? And Patrick's like, that's the fucking date it was recorded. Like, it doesn't mean shit, which is very fucking funny. Honorable mention off of Evening Out With Your Girlfriend was played for the first time since 2007. The Carpal Tunnel of Love was played. Rat-a-Tat with Carr, who opened the date, was played. The Kids Aren't All Right and Wilson. They basically covered every, just about every, like, era or album that they haven't usually done on the set list. Love that for our Mania people, that they got fed a little something. They said, fucking here, have some Wilson. Wilson's good. I'll take some. Wilson's tasty. We love Wilson. We love Mania. So I'm so glad everybody got a little bit of something. And Foley, again, has gotten a ton of love this tour, both legs. So thank you. Appreciate it. But that was Minneapolis, and that was a wrap on Tour Dust. the second leg, aka, and this is no hyperbole, it is the best tour and show Fall Out Boy has ever put on. The strongest set list, the best stage design, the most amazing audience interactions. 10 out of 10. Congratulations to that entire crew, the band, the management team, everybody who came together to make that happen. It was, I described it to people, I was like, if y'all missed this tour, y'all fucking missed out on a core piece of Fall Out Boy history and seeing them live during that time. Congratulations, y'all. So that was just tour dust. After that, I was hungry for the Fall Out Boy. I got to see Andy play and fill in for drums on the 8G, on the 8G band, I believe, on the late night Seth Meyers show. I went to New York for a couple days and got to be a part of the audience, which was so amazing to watch Andy play and to let him know that we were here. So much so that me and B made Here for Hurley shirts, just to, and we were actually put right in the front row, which was like amazing because we wanted to let him know that we were there to support him and that the producers did an amazing choice and having him on. I also was like, wow, he literally just got off of a huge tour, but like, good for him. This is an amazing opportunity. And the sweetest thing is that Andy, if you don't know, is actually the kindest, most thoughtful, sweet person in the entire world. He's quiet, but he is funny as hell, and he is kind. And just patient. And as soon as he finished the taping, he came over to say hi. And I will appreciate that interaction forever because, of course, I go into pitch mode. You know, I was like, I have to let them know about the pod. Like, this is kind of what I do. And I introduced myself and I was handing him a sticker. And I'm like, hey, my name is Scarlett. This is my podcast about Fall Out Boy and hip hop, Sugar. And he goes, oh, I'm familiar. What do you mean you're familiar? I just about wanted to pass out. hi. it was absolutely an amazing piece of validation that I needed because I want to give up every day. But I know that this show is so special and the fact that they know about it and I haven't gotten a cease and desist, relax, chill, means that they might not hate it. Okay, we're moving, okay? And I'll take that. I'll fucking take that. So Andy, honestly, thank you for the validation. You're a real one and I will fight for you. I agree. Like I've always been Team Hurley, but like, no, like big Team Hurley. Like, get behind me. Like, I will stand you forever. But that was day one. And then day two, we got to see him for a little bit more after the show. And he let us in on some juicy tidbits about the Magic 8 Ball, about the fact that he wanted 8 8 balls in Minneapolis, which is crazy. And just so much other just like cool tidbits that he let us talk to him about. It was so patient and kind with everyone. And if you want to see our picture, it's on my Instagram, Sugar We're Going In. What I really, really love, and here's what really was the cherry on top of just like the kind and talented cake that is Andy Hurley. We both have tooth gems. Like I was like, I'm so sorry I'm staring at your mouth, but like, do you have a tooth gem? And I have one too. And he's like, yeah, you know, my wife did them. And I was like, amazing. So Meredith, mwah, chef's kiss, you killed it. So in our picture, just me grilled out with my gold teeth and my tooth gem. But the biggest gift that Andy gave me was also letting me know that they've seen the Price is Right clip of me shouting out Fall Out Boy while spinning the wheel and winning. So knowing is, and just perception in general, is such a gift and a curse. But I'll take it. I'll take it. Thank you. I appreciate it. That was a moment for me because they were like, hey, you can't, you know, promote companies or anything. And I was like, hold my fucking beer, because if there's anything I'm going to do is be on brand and say something Fall Out Boy related, because that's fucking funny on national television. And the fact that Drew Carey went, hi, Fall Out Boy, right behind me, like, please just bury me. I'm done. Like, I did it all. I'm done. Whew, okay, so I literally thought that this episode was going to be like 10 minutes and we're 30 minutes in and I'm just, okay, I'm turned up because I really love talking about this. But I did want to let you know that coming up, some episodes that you can look forward to. 2008 will be like, you know, wrapping up with a couple of episodes, including topics like Patrick's work with Philly's own The Legendary Roots Crew and Patrick's work with Gym Class Heroes, The Quilt, the album that came out in 2008. They will be two separate episodes. Look, did you know that my episodes about Patrick are the most listened to? So Patrick Stump fans, rejoice. Mommy's coming home with the goods. I'm ready to feed the masses. I've got shit to talk and not shit to talk. I am excited about the shit that I have to talk. It's not shit. It's very fucking cool. And obviously I'm a Philly gal. So being able to talk about him and his work with the Roots is very near and dear to my heart. Speaking of being a Patrick Stump fan, if you're like me, chronically online and at Fall Out Boy shows, you may have noticed that on stage he uses a very specific brand of water bottle. And of course, we all had to learn more about our favorite dude's favorite water bottles and why he has six of them on stage. And Tums. But we didn't need to know about the Tums because, my lord, does my elder emo body know all about that? But about the bottles, and we found out that they were called Owala. Since then, myself and countless others have bought Owalas to test the hype, and I'm telling y'all that the hype is real. So the free sip, the built-in straw is a game changer, and I have even used like extra beads that I had left over for making bracelets to make a charm. It is the real deal, and hydration has never looked so good. That was a Tell That Mick reference, by the way. But basically, the live, laugh, love ladies have Stanley Cups, and Fall Out Boy fans have Owalas. This is not an ad, by the way. Like, this is just a real account of the dopamine high that this bottle gives me, and that this community has brain rotted me into. It worked. I feel great. Anyway, let's listen to a voicemail, shall we? Like, let's listen to anybody but me, shall we? Okay, so check this out. This is a call from Ken. They have a story about Boys of Summer.
Hi, Scardy. It's Ken. First of all, I wanted to say you slay so much and I love you. Second of all, I just wanted to share one of my favorite Fall Out Boy memories. So I was 16 or 17 at the time. It was 2015, and it was the Boys of Summer tour with Wiz Khalifa, slay. And I saw them at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater in St. Louis, and they did – I was on the lawn, of course, because I was a poor 16, 17-year-old girl. They did an acoustic set of Young Volcanoes, and they came out into the lawn on an extended stage. I dropped my bag so fast, and I ran up, and I was right on that extended stage singing my heart out, and it was the best experience of my life. Like, it was so good, and I wish I could find a video of it. If you can, please let me know, because I've been searching everywhere, and I don't have any videos, because I just abandoned Chip and left all of my stuff on the lawn because I was so excited. But yeah, it was so good seeing like Patrick and Pete like that, like up close. Like, it was amazing. It was so great. Also, shout out to my boyfriend for not leaving my bag, because he did grab it for me, which was very slay. And we're still together. Our 10-year anniversary was in January. So yeah, I love you, Maddie. Thank you. I love you, Scarky, too. Okay, bye.
I love you too, baby boo, and I love your love. Happy anniversary, Ken and Maddie. I love that so, so much. Boys of Summer was very, very wild. On top of just co-headlining with Wiz Khalifa, you may or may not remember that a very young, new, on the scene Lil Uzi Vert would perform with DJ Drama, who was also opening the show. Also, Fall Out Boy, bring back DJs and DJ sets opening Fall Out Boy shows, and hire me for it. I can bring the sad vibes, I can bring the ratchet vibes, anything y'all need. I got this, but hire me. And I also have a story about that side stage. I haven't found the video that you're talking about, but I so happened my show, one of my shows for Boys of Summer, was at the Scranton Mortgage Pavilion on the 4th of July. So I think we heard the debut of 4th of July Live, which is amazing. But the side stage, I have a story, because I originally had lawn seats for that show. I was a broke college student. I was there with my boyfriend and a couple of our friends. And from working in venues, I know that sometimes they are able to upgrade you because inclement weather, especially in lawn, and it was like drizzling, but like enough to be muddy and weird out there. And I just put on my cutest face and was just like, hey, is there any way that you can accommodate us being under the pavilion instead of out here in the drizzle? And she looked around and she was like, follow me, check these seats out. She's like, hey, this is considered obstructed view. And where she had us was right in front of that mini like stage B that they do the acoustic set on. And I had already gone to a show, so I was like, perfect, we'll take it. And when I'm telling you that was the best moment of my life, just not telling my friends that they're about to be right there, was the best surprise of my life. And I just remember that moment so clearly. So shout out to that venue worker, and shout out to me for knowing things and being at these shows, because that was so perfect. But yeah, Boys of Summer, can't wait to get into that. We'll definitely be talking about that when we get to that year. If you want to send in a shout out, text message, favorite Fall Out Boy memory, confessions, all of it, they are all welcome. And you can call or text 908-899-3489. That is like the Scardy line. That is my line for Shugs. So y'all can call, leave a message, say hi. I am here for y'all, and I would love to play them on the show. This has been a little catch-up episode of Sugar We're Going In. We just went the fuck in. I don't know what we just went the fuck in on, but y'all know the fucking vibes. I'm here for a good time, and Tour Dust was such a good time. I'm excited to keep going with the 2008 of it all, before we get into the dark days, hiatus, whatever. But until then, stay cool, stay kind, be nice to yourself, be nice to others. Y'all know the fucking vibes. And bow, 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 this is Sugar We're Going In, the podcast about Fall Out Boy and hip hop, because there are no others. Imagine that. Bye.